Hey everyone, it's Eric. I hope everyone's staying safe, smart, and sane during quarantine. And I'm just thinking about you. We love you. Thank you for listening. My hope is you'll get a ton out of today's podcast. It'll help you get going again, you know, kind of continue moving forward in these totally uncertain times. So it's just about keeping forward, moving forward. We're going to cover things off like how you push through getting pushback. We're going to talk about my teeth getting knocked out and why that's one of the best things that ever happened to me. How to define your one word, and why it's so much easier to steer a moving bicycle. I appreciate everyone's patience trying to call in. Again, stick with it. You'll be able to call into the show. We really appreciate all you listeners, and we want to get everybody on that wants to get on. So again, thank you so much for your patience. We'll get you on. Andrew will get you on. Anthony, Kelsey, Anna Maria, Sahidi will make sure that we get you on the show. So thanks for your patience, and keep reaching out. And then we continue a conversation for 30 minutes. I have no idea what he's saying because, one, my neck's getting a huge crick in it, just like you would on a plane talking with someone with your head turned. Uh-huh. But the whole time I'm actually sweating. I remember just sweating going, this is so weird. Like, why am I sitting here face to face with this guy on this bed talking to this guy? But that was probably the strangest moment by far.
That's awesome.
It's one small step for man.
Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
We choose to go to the moon, not because they are easy, but because they
are
hard.
I have a dream.
You can't handle the truth.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super.
Super you. Hey guys, it's Eric. Thanks for joining the show. We're going to do a call-in again today. So those that are trying to reach us through EQ at Equalman to be on the call-in, I apologize. There's a lot of people trying to get in. So just shoot us a note, EQ at Equalman. We'll make sure we get you in the next episode. But really appreciate you guys calling in. Hopefully you like this format. Send us your notes, your comments, and we'll keep rocking these out. Hey, Rebecca, thank you for calling in. Welcome to the Super You podcast.
Hey, Eric, how are you?
Doing well. Just so the audience has some context, just tell us a little bit about yourself, full name, where you're calling in from today, and what you do.
Okay, my full name is Rebecca Schrock. I like to say I'm bold, underlined, and italicized. And I am a structural engineer, and I own and am the principal engineer for V-Squared Engineering out of Tennessee.
I love it. Well, you sound great. You're bold, underlined, and italicized, and caffeinated if you're at Starbucks. So with that caffeine jolt, how can we help you here today? Give us any questions you might have.
So questions. I was curious. If you remember, I met you in High Point at the Furniture Expo, and you had everybody in the audience email you a word that we wanted our social stamp to represent what we wanted our social stamp to be. So I was curious, what was your word?
Yeah, no, and for those listeners out there, so High Point, North Carolina, a beautiful place in the world. They have basically the mecca of all furniture people get together in that area for a huge conference. So it's wonderful, and it's great meeting you there. In terms of my word, so my word is empower. So when I wake up in the morning, I always want to make sure that whatever I do that day, I want to make sure it's all focused around entertaining, educating, and empowering people to their best life. And for listeners out there, it's a great exercise to do. Rebecca just brought it up. But as you're listening to this, throughout the day, just try to write down, what's your word? What's the word you want people to know about you? If they Googled your name, what's that one word you'd want to show up 5 seconds from now, 50 years, 500 years from today? And then take it to a sentence level. So for me, again, my words empower, and my sentence is, I want to entertain, educate, and empower people to their best life.
When you were growing up, is that what you envisioned as your, you know, what you want to be when you grow up? I mean, have you grown, quote unquote, grown up yet? Are you still looking to be something else? Or
that's a good question. You know, I always think about that, is that I think most of us, we look in the mirror sometimes and we still have that little kid inside of us, which is a great thing. I think most people, I think everyone should do this. I think you should go to a retirement home and just volunteer and talk to the people there, learn their stories, and also learn their regrets. But those people, when you sit down with them, whether they're 80, whether they're 100, they still have that little kid inside of them, which is a beautiful thing for all of us to remember. Just act like a kid each and every day, that sense of wonder. But when I was growing up, like most boys, you start off, you want to be a superhero, you want to be a policeman, a fireman. And then over time, what I really wanted to do is I wanted to play basketball in the NBA. So I wanted to be a basketball player. And this could be somewhat of a long story, but my junior year in high school, I was cut from the basketball team. So there's the end of your dream. But it wasn't the end of my dream. So I kept at it. I went to Michigan State University. I still wanted to be around basketball. And so I signed up to be the manager, which is the water boy for the team. So I was a water boy for the team. But I still had that dream. The dream didn't die. Kept working out. Kept playing after practice. Kept playing with the coaches. Kept playing with the players. I wound up putting on 2 inches. Still kept growing in college. Most importantly, I added 50 pounds. And then eventually was able to walk on the basketball team and then earn a scholarship. So for all those out there, understand I got cut as a junior, but then I was eventually able to get a scholarship at Michigan State University, which at the time when I was a freshman, we were the number one team in the country. But just stay with your dream as much as possible. Just stay with it, even when it seems that impossibility.
I like it. It reminds me of the podcast you had with Abby Wambach. I'm a soccer player. I've been a soccer player my whole life. So I think I kind of empathize with her and her, you know, what she was talking about. But she mentioned about, I really liked it. She said, let your failures be your fuel. And it's something I think as athletes, I think we kind of do naturally, but don't realize that we do it. And so something like that, that just reminded me, you know, a couple quote unquote roadblocks aren't roadblocks unless you let them be roadblocks. They're simply road bumps. Just maybe slow us down.
I love that. Just road bumps and, but yeah, Abby was great. So if the listeners want, go check out that Super You podcast with Abby Wambach. And she talks about failure being your fuel.
Yep. I love that. The other thing, what would you say has been your most important or kind of biggest? I hate using the word luck. I've always been told that luck is when preparation meets opportunity. So, but for lack of a better word, lucky break, biggest break in your career, that one moment where you're like, my whole, not even career, but life, took a different direction. Do you have that moment?
Yeah, I mean, luck's where preparation meets opportunity. I was lucky from the get-go because all of us born in the United States are lucky because you're born in the greatest opportunity ever. So I had the lottery in terms of my family, in terms of my brothers, my parents. So I was the lottery from the get-go. In terms of a specific moment in time, I was really fortunate to get pushback when I first started talking about social media was going to change the world. So here I was the head of marketing at Travelzoo. We were doing some stuff at the time on MySpace. So I have this epiphany moment saying, this is the next big thing. It's going to change the way the world communicates. It's going to change the way we actually behave. And I got so much pushback from people saying, what are you talking about this stuff in a business context, in a government context? This social media stuff is just for teenagers. Why are you talking about this in a business setting? Or why are you saying it's going to affect and impact governments? And so fortunately, that pushback was so hard. I didn't realize it in the moment, but that turned that frustration into fascination. Or if when I'm on stage, I like to talk about pioneers getting pushback, is that if that moment didn't happen where people were pushing back, if they would have said, yeah, that seems to make sense, then I would have never written Socialnomics. I wrote the book Socialnomics because I was in part frustrated that people couldn't see that the world was going to change. And so that's when I wrote the book. And when I wrote the book and got that break and had it published and had it at the right place at the right time, that has really allowed me to step into my own story and allowed me for the last decade to be able to meet so many people, be able to empower 35 million people this decade. So that was the moment in time that really was able to kind of step into preparation, met opportunity, and the way we went.
That's cool. Yeah, I'm playing catch up on the social media as well. I was probably one of those first naysayers, but it's just for teenagers. And the gentleman I was dating at the time was a police officer, and he was really anti-social media because of all the stuff that it tended to kind of drum up. So I was not really involved all that much. So now I'm kind of playing catch up, and it was actually going when I watched you speak there at High Point and realizing, you know, embrace it. It's coming, whether you want it or not, it is coming, and that it doesn't have to be a negative. And so that's kind of cool that that happened to be, because I think that's going to end up being a turning point for me and where I take my company as well. I've got some other things kind of drumming up in the future that should be big. And a lot of it was kind of unlocked with just allowing myself to accept that social media is here and it's okay. And as long as you use it properly, and it can really be a huge benefit. Very cool. So what's the weirdest thing, I guess, or a client has ever done at like your home or office? Give me the insight, Scoop.
Fortunately, it's happening in my office or at my house. Actually, it'd be even weirder. But I remember we worked with a mattress company. So we're working with a mattress company, a huge mattress company. And so they were doing some progressive things. They're actually taking the technology that you could use to customize your shoe for a bed. But the short answer is they wanted me to come up to check out the facility. So they'd mocked up what it'd be like from a user experience, a customer's experience, to walk into that retail store and check out the bed. And so I'm with this gentleman, super nice guy, but I literally just met this guy. He's about 60 years old. And he goes, well, I want you to test the bed out. So I want you to like lay down in the bed. So I lay down in the bed, and which makes sense. But then all of a sudden the guy lays down like right next to me, And I kind of go to get up, but he does one of those moves where you kind of take your hand and put the on your chest and kind of eases you back down. And then we continue a conversation for 30 minutes. I have no idea what he's saying because, one, my neck's getting a huge crick in it, just like you would on a plane talking with someone with your head turned. Uh-huh. But the whole time I'm actually sweating. I remember just sweating going, this is so weird. Like, why am I sitting here face to face with this guy on this bed talking to this guy? But that was probably the strangest moment by far.
That's awesome. All right. This sounds stupid, but a friend of mine asked me this a long time ago, and her and I became really good friends. And it's something I ask pretty much everybody I meet when I'm getting to know them, because it's just interesting how people's brains work. But if you could be any candy, what would it be and why?
Wow. Any candy coming off Halloween? That's a good question. Yeah. I'm going to go Kit Kat. Here's why. So I love people. Mm-hmm. And so I love observing people. And so as a Kit Kat, if I'm the Kit Kat, I'm going to be dark chocolate because I love dark chocolate. So dark chocolate Kit Kat.
My man. Okay.
And the reason is, if you ever watch people eat Kit Kats, it varies so much. So just being that Kit Kat, I'd be able to see that person's personality. Do they like it frozen? Are they put me in the freezer? Do they break out the four different things? They eat them individually. Do they nibble on it like my wife, like it's a corn on the cob and it takes them 40 minutes they savor it. You see the enjoyment of 40 minutes eating that Kit Kat bar, or do they just don't break it up at all? They just woof the thing down. Do they drink it with milk? Do they dip it in milk? So anyways, we're not going to go on 30 minutes on how to eat a Kit Kat, but I'm going Kit Kat.
I like it. All right.
What candy are you? What candy are you? Not to put you on the spot.
It varies by day. But today I would say Almond Joy, because I definitely feel like a nut. And it's, I've been M&M.
It's always bothered me. Like, Almond Joy's got nuts, Mounds don't. So Almond Joy makes sense as an almond. But when you think about Mounds, wouldn't the nut create the mound?
Interesting. See, anyways. I'm telling you, you get into some of the coolest conversations with this. It's something we all can relate to. We all have so many different stories and different things. You have gotten some of them answered because it's sentimental, and some of them are just completely random.
Love it. Love it.
And then last, and this is only because I've done so much traveling in my career, and airplanes tend to offer the best, funniest stories. And so I'm curious what your funniest or best airplane story would be.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot going on those airplanes. I won't tell my main one because I tell that on stage. And so a lot of people probably heard that when I met James Taylor. So I won't go into that one.
Yeah, I've heard that one. Yep.
What I will do is when I played basketball in college, we flew on these puddle jumpers. So we flew to every game except for Michigan. And so I used to eat a ton of food in college. And this is on a basketball team where most of the players eat a lot. But we'd always get a sack of food, basically a candy bar sandwich after the game because we're starving, right? And we have to fly immediately back to campus. And invariably, they'd try to see if I could set the record because they'd pass the bags of lunch to me if they didn't want to eat theirs. And so they'd want to see if I could break the record for most lunches eaten on the flight home. So that's one. I think this is a good metaphor somewhat for just the grinders win, right? So who's going to put in the time? Who's going to go the extra mile to make it happen? So obviously you run into complications if you fly a lot. I've got to get on stage. Like if I don't make the stage, that's a big problem for the audience. And also I'm not going to get paid if I don't make it to the stage. Mm-hmm. And I remember we were flying, I was connecting through to Dallas to go to Vegas because I think I was coming from Europe. And as we approached Dallas about a half hour out, there's a huge hailstorm. And so we have to land in Arkansas, Little Rock. Now we land, of course, the one time you need to phone, it doesn't work because everyone's trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Mm-hmm. So we're on the tarmac in Arkansas, Little Rock, and they come on the PA and say, hey, you have two options. You can stay on the plane. We think it's going to clear, and then we'll take off, and we'll get into Dallas, and you'll connect through. Or if you want, you can get off the plane right now. I go, that's shocking. They're going to let me get off the plane. I'm trying to figure out, are there a flight in Arkansas, Little Rock? Then get me anywhere. But since none of the phones are working, since the network's jammed, I go, you know what? I don't feel good about this. I don't think I'm going to sit here. I'm kind of antsy. So me and this other guy vote of the whole plane. There's only two of us to say, yeah, I'll get off. So they have a pickup truck come across the tarmac. I still can't believe that this is possible that they did this. But this pickup truck, and we sit in the back of the pickup truck, like the open pickup truck. We don't even have a seatbelt on. Go across the tarmac. And then I literally walk in, then I realize, oh my gosh, what did I just do? This airport's tiny. Mm-hmm. And I walk into the airport and I'm going, oh, that was a bad choice because there's just not that many gates here. But I walked up to the first gate and said, what is the next flight out of here to anywhere? And the lady's face like, anywhere? I go, anywhere. And she goes, well, actually, there's only one flight out the rest of the day and it's going to Chicago. I go, please put me on that. And she goes, great, there's like two seats left. We'll put you on it. So then I go from Arkansas back to Chicago, then didn't connect to Vegas, and literally make it there to walk on the stage probably a couple hours beforehand. But really, there's a lot of times these people wouldn't take that extra effort to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I got lucky there, obviously, that there was a flight. But it's really about making sure that whatever it takes, get it done.
Yep, I like it.
I'm going to turn the tables on you real quick. I think we have some time here.
Bring it.
So you're a small business owner. How many folks are on the team?
Me, myself, and I right now.
I love it. So you're a solopreneur. Walk me through. What's the biggest? There's a lot of people listening out there in the same boat. How long have you been doing it? Like, what gave you the conviction to take that leap? Because a lot of people are thinking about taking that leap that are listening.
Well, for me, it was, I'm very passionate about what I do. I love building. I've loved to build ever since I was a little girl. My mom, I have four brothers, and my mom said she gave birth to five boys, and one was just in a girl's body. And I'll never forget, there was a day where she had me go to my room because she was telling me, oh, well, we have bought you all this Barbie stuff. You never play with dolls, because she wanted her little girl so bad. She's like, you have to go to your room and play with your Barbies for 2 hours. It's okay. So I go to my room. 2 hours later, she opens the door, and she was very upset to see I had an entire city built. And she said, well, I thought I told you to play with your Barbies. I'm like, I did. That one's at the mall. That one's at the gas station. And I had built this entire city. And so building has just been something ever since I was little that I just love to do. It's been interesting. It's not all been, you know, lollipop and rainbow, but it definitely has been more gratifying. I'm learning things that I thought I would be good at, but I'm not. I am massively a people person, which I thought would make it easy to kind of manage somebody and work with somebody, and realizing, no, that's not really it at all. Similar to, I was listening to one of your podcasts earlier with John and Kendall Antonelli, and she kind of said the same exact thing. She was like, I'm too empathetic. I tend to, you know, be too personal. And so that's kind of one of the things that I'm learning and I'm kind of growing through. I'm realizing I do need to hire people. And that's kind of another kind of sticking point for me, is how to go about doing that and whatnot. But ultimately, kind of roundabout answer on how I got out on my own, that's how it happened, and that's kind of what led to that.
No, that's wonderful. And then with hiring folks with small businesses, what I've seen successful small businesses do is make sure they got to take on the mindset, not what can that employee do for me, but what can I do for that employee? And that changes the whole dynamic, which is good. I'm sure you know that. But and then last but not least, we'll ask you two more questions. Super You podcasts, which one's been your favorite?
I've mentioned a few. I think probably my favorite, though, is still the John and Kendall Antonelli. I vibe with them. I loved how he said everybody loves cheese and that they just have a passion for people. And that's where I'm kind of, I don't want to say struggling, but that's where I find myself, is that I do have a genuine passion for people, and I'm trying to figure out how to, through my, also my passion for engineering, how to kind of meld those two together. And I think they did a really good job on it with what they did. So it's just one that I've listened to every once in a while when I start to feel confused. And his analogy with the balloon, I love that, because it makes so much sense, you know, that the, your passion is that momentum, but without direction, it's just all over the place. So it's reminding myself I have to have a direction, even if that direction changes. My dad always said it's easier to steer a moving bicycle. So even if you don't know exactly what to do and when and where you're going, pick a direction and go for it, because you can turn if you're moving versus if you're just standing still.
Objects in motion tend to stay in motion, but most importantly, people in motion tend to stay in motion. And so I've never heard that before. It's a great context that your dad puts in. It's, it's easier to steer a moving bicycle. I'll definitely pass along your kind words to John and Kendall. And that's warms my heart, because that's the whole reason we're doing the Super You podcast. Is that all of us, when we're hitting that wall, which we all do, it's kind of a resource to kind of go back and listen. I go back and listen to the guests on the show all the time, just because it helps me reframe as well. But I can't thank you enough for calling in the show. We want to make sure your business is successful as possible. So how can people find out more about it?
Well, I've got some big things coming up beginning of next year. So right now, how to find me, if you go search Facebook for at B2E Tennessee, you can kind of see a little bit of what I do there. You can find me on LinkedIn. My passion and what I would say I'm really good at is residential design, which is weird for most engineers. But for now, that's where you can find me. And in the future, dun, 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 you can go the same way, and it will direct you to what's up and coming here in hopefully January.
V2E, that's V as in Victor, 2E.
Tennessee.
And that's Rebecca. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Hey there. This is Andrew. Today's review is from Ask Jamie Turner. My friend Eric Qualman has knocked it out of the park again with the Super You podcast. I'm a fellow speaker and blogger, and I watch what Eric does. Why? Because this guy is smart. This Super You podcast is just one of the many things Eric does to differentiate himself from all the other thought leaders out there. Bravo. Thanks again for the review, Jamie, and keep those reviews coming.
We have Rosa calling in from Mexico City. Welcome to the Super You podcast, Rosa.
Hi, how are you?
Todo bien, todo bien. Things are good, things are good. How are you doing?
Muy bien, también. Muy contenta. Very happy to be with you.
Es mi placer, or con gusto. Todo bien. My wife's laughing at me because I just said that wrong, but that's awesome. This is great. Love having you on the show. Thanks for calling in. What questions do you have today, or preguntas, as they'd say?
Awesome. Okay, let's start with this question. Can you share with us what's your morning ritual? What do you do when you wake up? Like, what's the thing that inspires you to open your eyes and start the day?
So I'm going to go over when I'm not traveling, because when I'm traveling, my schedule can be quite different. Okay. But when I'm at home, this is what I try to do. It's not always successful, but this is, I love to do this. And so when I can, and normally I can do this, I get up around, I usually go to bed around 9:30.
Okay.
And so I try to get up at 5:30.
Okay.
And then I'll go to the gym. First in bed, though, I'll basically do a ritual where I'm saying what I'm grateful for. I'm just happy that my eyes opened again.
Yeah.
And then here's what I'm grateful for. And then I'll set my intention for the day. So try to walk through what's the most important thing that I need to do that day.
Okay.
Then I get up, and I've always put my workout stuff out the night before, because I'm writing a book on focus right now. And the research shows that if you put your workout stuff the night before, you've got a higher percent chance to actually do it just by that simple task. One less thing to think about.
Okay.
So I get up, go to the gym. I'm usually there for about an hour, do cardio and usually weights, maybe some stretching, and then come back. And then my kids wake up about 10 minutes after I get home.
Wow.
So I have breakfast with them, make breakfast, walk them to the bus stop, which I love.
Okay.
And then I usually have time to wait for the bus to do that circle. And then if it's a good day, they'll wave at me, meaning that I'm able to pick the right side. I got a 50-50 chance to pick the right side of the street, because you can't see into these buses with the windows so dark and these school buses.
Yes.
My kids are young. They're in elementary school.
Wow.
So that's my day. And then when I get back to the house, then I usually write from 8 until 9:30. And then if it's a day where I'm going into the office, then I'll head in the office around 9:30.
Wow, nice. So what's this power song that you like to play when you need to have energy?
Oh man, my power song, it can change over time. Obviously, when I was growing up, more AC/DC, more Guns N' Roses. Okay. But now I've got two daughters, so heavily influenced by their listening. I have no choice in the matter, whether we're in the car or whether in the house, it's what they want to listen to.
Okay.
So that could range from Descendants all the way, Disney's Descendants, to The Greatest Showman. But right now I'd say a good power song is Rachel Platten's Fight Song. This is my fight song.
Okay.
Can get you fired up.
Oh, nice. Nice, nice. And what would you say it's your superpower?
You know, I love people. So I think over time, it's just I'm very empathetic. So I try to understand what my action's going to do ahead of time, almost like a game of chess. If I do this action, how will that affect the people closest to me? Same applies to a business setting. Okay. If I do this, how is that going to impact these other folks?
Okay.
How do I do something that positively influences them? And so that's why I always want to entertain, educate, and empower people to the best life.
Okay.
But I've been fortunate over time. I love to study people. Okay. So I always say, you know, I love digital. I've been in digital for 27 years, but I'm really an anthropologist at heart.
Wow.
That just happens to be in the digital space.
Okay.
And so I would say generally it's just empathy. I understand more than most how it affects people around me, my actions.
Nice. And last, when something doesn't go well or as planned, what do you do to cheer yourself up?
Yeah. And I'm going to ask this question back to you because I think it's helpful for the listeners. Everyone has a different way to go about it. It's as weird as it sounds. What I always do when I'm getting overstressed or I'm fearful. And when you think about fear, when you think about stress, really stress is an adult term for fear. But when I'm getting amped up or getting upset about something that really shouldn't bother me, I'm having a bad day, that I always just remind myself of how lucky I am, how grateful I am. And I think about my kids. Yeah. Did I get a phone call that, hey, your kid has to have surgery? Or did I get a phone call, your daughter was just in a car accident? So I know that's kind of morbid to think about, but it's really just reminding us memento mori, but memento mori meaning that's Latin for remember that you will die.
Yeah.
And it's really for yourself. But what I like to do is think about it around my family, those closest to me. Hey, this day is great because it's not a bad day anymore because nothing bad happened to the people that are closest to me. And then I'm going to ask you that same question. When you do have a bad day or you're in a rut, what do you do?
Yeah, I usually think about our 5 cents. So I like to start about like, looking at something that I like, going through images that I really enjoy, like nice designs. I like to listen to music. I like to smell something good that really like lavender or something that calms me down. And also, like it depends on the situation, but or how much time do I have. But if I can fit something that makes me laugh, then I will try to do that. And definitely count my blessings. That's something that really helps me to be grateful and focus on the good things that I have in life.
No, that's great. And then in terms of that, what's the best advice you've ever been given?
There was one advice that my mom gave me when I was little. And she said, you should write a list of the things that you want to achieve. Just write a list down and make a list. And eventually you will see that you achieve each one of the things that you have on the list. So ever since then, I'm a list person. I make a list of everything like places I want to go, books I want to read, meals I want to try, things I want to do. And I go and check my list and everything. So I have that advice since I was little. And yeah, that's something that keeps going in my life until now.
And then as we look ahead to not just tomorrow, like we think about it, what's your biggest struggle right now? What's the biggest challenge you're facing or struggle right now?
Right now, what we are trying to do in Mexico is not only in Mexico, like global, in this foundation that I work right now, we are trying to make 10 million jobs in 10 years.
10 million jobs. So you're working at a foundation that's trying to create 10 million jobs. Is this 10 million jobs across the globe or 10 million jobs in Mexico?
10 million jobs in 20 emergency economy countries.
Wow. Okay, great. So that's your challenge. What's the top challenge with that?
Yes. So what I'm in charge of is giving this program focus on soft skills. And I'm in love with soft skills because I think it's really important. It's this platform for anything we want to do in life, soft skills. But for next year, we are trying to reach 18,000 beneficiaries for this program. And it's and the challenge is that we don't charge anything for what we do. So it's free, and like, but the payment is the commitment. So trying to make a commitment or trying to get people to commit to the program, it's a really big challenge.
I don't know if it applies for you doing, but it's interesting. It's kind of counterintuitive, at least the way that I would think, is if you're going to have an event, I know you're not running events. In this case, you're trying to create jobs.
Yes.
But if you're running an event and you make it free, your attendance, what will happen is that half the people, if not more, don't show
up.
And you want to charge $5, like just $5, and just that minimum amount that someone put that down, it's that extra commitment, then you're going to get almost close to 100% attendance. And so it was kind of counterintuitive, but I was talking to some professional event. Obviously, I go to a ton of events. Yeah. And so just talking to these people that are the best at what they do, and they're almost always say, you should never give a free event. I know you're not running events, but I just thought that might parallel to what you guys are trying to do. So that's fascinating. Now, in terms of, is there someone out there that it's kind of been who should we call? Like, who should we randomly call from the show? Who do you want to give love to, or who should be on the show?
I think the founder, Ramesh Wadhwani, I think it's a really inspiring person. He's like a low profile person, but he is really passionate about everything that he's doing and committed. And this passion, he's able to transmit that to all the foundation.
No, we'll make that happen. I'm so glad you called in. Mexico City, last time I was there, I loved that place. I think I broke the record for eating the street tacos. The people that are the hosts that were with me couldn't believe the amount of street tacos I was eating just because they're so amazing, just like the people in Mexico. But as we part ways here, first of all, thanks for calling in the show. Thanks for being a fan.
Thank you.
How do we find out more about you, or if there's any fun fact? Either one.
Yeah, well, you can find me at Twitter or Instagram. Instagram, you can find me as Super Isela.
Love it. So we'll post that out there. And thanks for calling in the show, and have a great day.
Thank you.
So thanks again for listening to today's Super You podcast. Again, it's a podcast designed to unlock and unleash your inner superpower. And if you want to pay it forward, make sure you go post a review for the Super You podcast, because what that will do, it'll allow others that aren't familiar with our podcast to discover it. And hopefully that allows them to unlock and unleash their inner superpower. So that's it for today's show. I'm your host, Equal Man, reminding all of us, it's not what we take from the world, it is what we leave behind.
7.
6.
5.
4.
3.
2.
1.
Super, 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 super,
super you.